Chapter 2 A Song of Scars.
Breathe.
That was the first word I heard, somewhere dark and distant. Swimming up through blood-stained murk toward a point of light, 1,000 fathoms above. All I felt was pain. No knowing where it ended and I began. Barely enough in me to...
Breathe.
Red smoke. On my lips and in my lungs. It was harsh, burned halfway to bitter, and though I needed it more than words could say, I couldn't hold it in, gasping in agony as I rolled onto my belly and hacked blood into my hands.
Breathe.
Stop fucking saying that, I managed. It's not helping.
Bollocks Tienal, then, someone spat. Light your own smoke, you surly shite.
My pipe was tossed onto the stone before me. I coughed, opening one swollen eye, squinting at the blurry figure crouched over me. Freckled, tattooed skin. A collar of ever-knots bound about her throat. Flame-red curls tumbling over her scarred face, and by the look of it, maybe 40 yards of silk and tulle and Eladani lace covering her body.
What in God's name... are you wearing? I whispered.
The only other clothes in your saddlebags, Phoebe scowled. And might I add, a very sensible choice of attire, you fucking cock wambler.
I looked around, saw we were in the depths of a mountain cave. Black stone and old ice, the stale musk of wolf. Outside, a fierce storm was raging, but a blessedly warm fire burned nearby. A pair of gore-soaked saddlebags beside it. My body was caked in clotted blood, broken in 12 places. But I was clad in my tunic, the greatcoat from Genoa's lair, blood-red velvet, midnight black trim. And Phoebe Adunzair was wearing a dress. But not just a dress, a ball gown, shoulderless and wasp-waisted, mantled with fox fur. The fabric was a brilliant emerald to offset the flame of the Dusk Dancer's hair, hugging her body to the hips, then spilling into a waterfall of skirts below. In the salons of Augustin, it had not have turned heads so much as snapped necks, but in the frozen wilds of the Nightstone...
You look ridiculous, I rasped.
Whose fault is that? She demanded, hands on hips. It was in your bag, you twat.
I didn't put it there, Kit Kat. Dior packed it for...
My heart stilled. Kiara. The terrors. The battle on the bridge.
Dior!
I pushed myself up, managing to reach my knees. Blood drooled from my lips. My left leg bent entirely in the wrong direction, but I clutched the wall and tried to rise. Phoebe pressed on my shoulders.
Sit down, you bloody fool.
Get your damned hands off me.
Take hold of your tick. Ah!
The Dusk Dancer jerked away, a whirl of emerald silk and burning curls.
Watch the silver, you buck-toothed gobshite.
I saw a bloody red welt in the shape of the 7-star on her upper arm. Glancing to my palm, I realized I'd scorched her where we touched. The silver on me a burning brand to her. Coughing more blood, I slithered down the wall, struggling simply to breathe.
Apologies, I wheezed. You're right.
Should have left you in the damned snow, you moonstruck cack-witted.
Phoebe stalked around the fire, clutching her arm, mumbling a string of blasphemy so vile you could have dressed it in a red robe and called it a cardinal.
Why didn't you?
I asked.
Eh? Why didn't you leave me in the damned snow?
Sweet Mother Moons, you've got some talls on ye,
she spat.
I think the words you're searching for are, merci, m'lady, for saving my sorry ass.
What happened to Dior?
Phoebe sighed, curls tumbling over her face as she hung her head.
Nay clue.
Then I'll ask again, I growled, temporizing.
Why did you waste time saving me when you should be chasing her? Best case scenario, my traitor sister has her in her claws. Worst case, she's in the hands of the fucking Divok.
You think I didn't ken that? I swore on my heart's blood to keep that girl safe.
The Dusk Dancer stormed toward me, tossing her hair from her face.
But in case you weren't paying attention, that leech put her boot so far up my cunny, I can still taste the leather. So, excuse me if I thought to bring help when I next step to.
Phoebe, I whispered, mouth agape. Seven Martyrs, your eyes.
She blinked, temper fading.
What about them?
Looking to the scabbard at my belt, my heart sank as I remembered Ashtrinka was gone, smashed from Dior's hand by Kiara on the bridge. But reaching into my boot, I fished out my straight razor, unfolding the blade so Phoebe could see her reflection in the steel.
Oh, Mother Moons, she whispered, hand rising to her face.
The Dusk Dancer's eyes were changed. Where once they'd been emerald green, now they gleamed gold, the whites vanished entirely. No longer a woman's eyes, I realized, but those of a lioness, like the talons at her fingertips, like the shadow at her feet.
Shite, Phoebe hissed, gazing at her reflection. Green suited me too.
I frowned, unsure at her expression.
I was taught the more a Dusk Dancer wears the shape of her beast, the deeper the beast marks her. Isn't this sort of normal for you?
Phoebe sighed, still staring at the blade.
Before the death of days, it would have taken 1,000 dances for me to be as changed as I am. But these nights...
The Dusk Dancer handed back my razor, knelt by the fire in silence. With a wince, I sank down beside her, watching the flames dancing in that strange new gold.
What about these nights? I urged.
Phoebe looked at me sidelong, debating whether or not to reply. We'd both fought and bled beside each other to defend Dior, and battle makes the strangest bedfellows. But still, I was a Silver Saint, she a Dusk Dancer. We weren't exactly the closest of confidants.
We Wieldings are born of moons and mountains, she finally sighed. Once we were blessed by both. But since the death of days, our mother moons have been hid by the veil across the sky. Our Earth Father rots in the grip of the Blight, and his corruption infects our veins. The beast burns brighter inside us these nights. Every change twists us further, faster, and every time I dance the wheeled shape, I know not what I'll become after.
You mentioned this to Dior, I murmured, the time of blighted blood.
She nodded.
Now you see why I journeyed with the flower 6 months and never danced once. Now you see what the godling means to my kind. An end to this endless dark, to restore the harmony among earth and sky, and our blighted blood between.
I sighed, unsure what to say at this revelation. But my temper had quelled at least, and I spared a moment to take stock of where we were. Last I remembered was tumbling off the Cairnheim Bridge. I'd no idea how I'd even got here. The pain in my body had dimmed, thanks to the sacrament, but my boot was tattered and torn, the ankle beyond like same. Teeth marks, I realised. I guessed the tale at last. Phoebe must have found me in her wheeled shape, dragged me to safety in her jaws, danced into human form come the dusk, then gone out into the snow wearing nothing but that bloody ball gown, gathering wood for a fire, the gear off my dead horse, clothes for my back. Pale blood or no, I'd have frozen to death without this woman. Her efforts were doubly courageous given the price she paid to shift her shape. And here I was, chewing on her about it.
You know, you're right, I murmured, dragging back a frost-caked lock of bloody hair. I do have some balls on me. Merci, Mademoiselle Phoebe, for saving my sorry ass.
The Dusk Dancer tossed a red curl from her face, breathing deep.
It's all right.
Your eyes.
I coughed, wincing. Gold suits you more than green.
Stick your chivalry where the sun don't shine.
The sun doesn't shine anywhere anymore.
Then stick it anywhere you like.
We both chuckled, shadows retreating a little in that crackling firelight.
Sunshine aside, I am grateful, I told her. Truly, I owe you my life.
Nay bother. Phoebe shrugged as if throwing off a cold, damp cloak.
Moons only know why, but the flower's fond of you. She'd be vexed if I let you perish.
Not so sure of that anymore,
eh?
I scowled at my hand, remembering the awful sound of that slap. I acted harsh to Dior before the battle. Did things I should have never done. Unforgivable things.
The dusk dancer only stared. I shook my head, almost too ashamed to speak my sin.
I raised my hand to her. In anger. I hit her, Phoebe.
She shrugged.
My ma gave me a whipping or two when I was...
You don't understand.
My stepfather beat the shit out of me when I was a boy. Thrashed me so hard I couldn't walk some nights. I vowed I'd never do the same.
Phoebe watched across the fire with new glittering eyes.
Then, why did you?
I don't know, I hissed. I was angry. Angrier than I've ever been in my life, but God, that's not like me. I never raised a hand to my patients, not once in 11 years.
I scowled at my hand again, fingers trembling. I'd rather cut the damn thing off.
Well, buck the fuck up about it. You can lop off whatever body part you please later.
I glowered across the fire, Phoebe meeting my gaze.
A fool could see you love that girl like kin, Silver Saint, she said. So save the self-flagellation for church on Priody. You can atone to Dior once we get her back.
I chewed on that, and it tasted an awful lot like wisdom.
Phoebe had a way of cutting sharp to the quick, but she was right. No sense moaning about what was done. All that mattered was what we'd do. Best pick my lip off the floor and get the hell on with it. And so I closed my eyes, hand outstretched to the flames.
Water your...
Shh.
Don't shush me, you cocky fuck.
I gave Dior a phial of my blood, I murmured. I can feel it if I try. But it's not easy.
I spoke truth. This was more akin to finding a piece of hay in a stack of needles than the other way about. But still, I reached across the freezing gulf, pawing through the storm, the night, the vast and lifeless spaces. I've no idea how long it took, groping about in that empty dark, but finally, I felt a tiny drop of red amid the black. Distant. Moving. Swift.
7 martyrs. I think the Divok have her.
Phoebe's eyes narrowed.
You're sure?
No. But she's moving fast, and our ponies are dead. Either she stole a horse and started galloping toward Osway without us, or she's being carried there on horseback. Either way, I doubt Selene is with her. She's not had time to thrall a beast to bear her.
If those leeches have Dior, they won't kill her. The wolf mother is many things, but a fool isn't one. She knows Dior has worth to the Voss now.
I climbed to my feet, gingerly testing the break in my leg.
You have to run her down before she realizes how much.
I do, Phoebe blinked up at me. You got more pressing plans? Washing your hair or...
They're a horse.
I gestured at my empty scabbard.
And even if I could catch them, I'm unarmed. So, tomorrow dusk, you dance the wheeled shape and give chase.
And leave you up here alone? You'll be frozen or starved within a week.
That sounds an awful lot like not your fucking problem, Kit Kat.
Call me Kit Kat one more time, Silver Boy, and I'll bury you up here myself.
I know daft heroics are the ale and honey of your kind. There you go again with that my kind shit, I swear. But were you born stupid? Or did you just take one too many devox to the head? Phoebe squared up to me, scowling. Did you skip the chapter where that slag and her boy kicked the shite out of me and chucked me off a mountain? And now you want me to run them down alone and what? Ask nice? Pretty please, with my jugular on top.
We can't just abandon Dior.
Nobody's saying we should. But they won the battle, Silver Saint. Take your lumps and start thinking about winning the war. Moon's sakes, I know you're fond of the girl.
I'm not just fucking fond of her, she's...
I slumped back onto the stone, body still wounded and aching, yet nowhere near as bloodied as my heart. The thought of Dior in Divock hands, of what might be happening to her, the terror that the last time we spoke might be the last time we ever...
She's...
She's all you have left.
Phoebe sank down opposite me, golden eyes on mine. Her cheeks were flushed with rage, talons curled into fists. But in truth, neither of us was truly furious with the other.
I know what she means to you, past the auguries and destinies. What she really means.
Phoebe's voice was gentle, as if she knew she now stepped onto thinnest ice.
Dior told me what happened to them. Your woman. Your little girl. I know what that feels like.
Don't, I growled. Don't you fucking dare.
My protest faded as the dusk dancer lifted her hand between us. Her nails were claws, sharp and cruel enough to rip a heart from its chest. But around her ring finger, a scrolling design was inked in her skin, the same blood red as the fey spirals adorning her body. A troth ring, I realised. Not forged of silver, but carved in ink and blood.
You're not the only one with scars, Silver Saint, she murmured.
I glanced at the old wound etched down the dusk dancer's cheek, the bite of her dead cousin's axe in her shoulder. Others were carved into her forearms, her neck. She was covered in them, I realised, just as I. A song of scars, singing the tale of her hurts. And it seemed Phoebe Adunzer had been hurt a great deal.
I understand, she said. Why you're so afraid? A nae sin is that fear, save if you let it rule your wits. She's nae gone, only lost, and we can get her back.
I breathed a heavy sigh, dragging one hand down my blood-stained face.
She was infuriating, this woman, belligerent, hard as stone. There were centuries of blood between her kind and mine. The very ink on my skin was a bane to her, and who knew what dark magics flowed in her veins. But she was right, damn her.
About the only thing Phoebe was better at than winding me up was talking me down afterward.
She sounds exhausting,
Jean-Francois yawned, turning a page. She was. Gabriel scoffed softly. One of the things I appreciated most.
Your masochistic streak when it comes to women is really quite telling, De Leon.
It's naught to do with women, the Silver Saint scowled. The folk I held dearest were always the ones I quarrelled with hardest. Folk who weren't afraid to slap me out of my bullshit or tell me I was being an ass. There's no friend under heaven like an honest one.
The last Silver Saint leaned forward, elbows to knees.
That's the way to wisdom, vampire. The wise man learns more from his enemies than the fool from his friends, but even the fool can learn if his friends are willing to call him one. Surround yourself with folk who confront you. If you're not being challenged, you're not learning anything. If you're the smartest man in the room, you're in the wrong fucking room. Phoebe Adunzer and I were nothing close to friends. From the day I entered Saint-Michel, I'd been taught her kind were animals, bloodthirsty heathens who drank the blood of the innocent and stole the skins of men.
But though I'm not the wisest of fellows, I'm wise enough to heed wisdom when I hear it.
All right, I sighed. We work together.
Phoebe nodded, leaning back on her heels.
So, if they're headed to Osway, where would they be bound?
Dunquin is closest. The Divok crushed that last year.
Dun Sayeth, too, and Dun Aris. Even Dun Meagen has fallen, if what Lachlan said is true.
I shook my head, bewildered.
15 years they've been in stalemate, and now the Divok have crushed all Osway in a blinking. How the fuck did they get so strong?
Naken, but that's where they'd take her, aye? The Nine Swords capital.
I chewed the puzzle over, slowly nodding.
Makes sense.
Then you need a horse if we're to catch them. Supplies if we're to chase them. And if I might be so bold, she winced, a wash wouldn't kill you either.
I opened my mouth for a rebuttal, but looking the Dusk Dancer up and down, I saw where I was splashed head to foot in bruises, ashes, and dried gore. She was absolutely spotless. I knew cats were fastidious, but this was just taking the piss.
A horse isn't the only thing I'll need, I sighed. I lost Ash Drinker at Cairnheim. After all we've been through, all we've seen together, she could be anywhere.
I looked up at the odd note in Phoebe's voice. After a long moment of torture, she smiled, a touch of mischief twinkling in those strange feral eyes. Standing swift, she pulled aside the blood-stained saddlebags and there, wrapped in a blanket.
Ash! I cried.
I swept up my blade, eyes stinging, as that beautiful silver voice rang once more in my head. She was talking to herself, I realized, a recipe for bloody spud loaf of all things. But her voice was wondrous, bright, warming my cold bones as no fire ever could.
One new potato, large and lovely.
Ash, I whispered.
Two cups goat's milk, fresh and fine.
Ash, I said louder.
Her voice stilled then, that broken silver dame upon the hilt ever smiling.
Gabriel, where did you go? I was worried.
All's well, I whispered. Fear not.
Fear for them, not for us. Fear and the snick-snack, aye. Not for peace was I hurled here, nor for parley was I forged. But where is Dior?
South. Not far. We're going to go get her.
Oh, good. Was I talking to myself just now? What was I saying? I can't remember. I can never remember.
You sleep now, Ami, I murmured. I'll call when I need you, eh?
Do ye?
She asked softly.
Still need me, even if I'm not what I was?
Always, I whispered, squeezing her tight. Shh. Always.
Good. Oh, good. Sleep now. The quiet and the still. The calm in the storm. Ye are a lucky man, my friend. Kiss Astrid and Patience good night for me.
The blade's voice fell silent as I slipped her back into her sheath, caressed the beautiful dame on the hilt. I looked to the Dusk Dancer, watching from across the fire.
That's twice I owe you, mademoiselle.
Found her where she fell, Phoebe muttered. She'd split the boulder she landed on in half. Should have heard the shite she was saying. Angels and devils and all manner of madness. Messy as a pub floor at closing, that one.
She wasn't always like this, I protested. She has good nights and bad.
What happened to her?
No man of woman born can slay the forever king, they say. I sighed, old hatred burning in my chest. But still I tried, and Ash paid the cost, along with ma famille.
Phoebe's golden eyes roamed the silvered name on my fingers.
Can you nae fix her?
Fix her?
Reforge her, or some such. Like in the old tales. They gan renewing the hammer o' the Tainow, or the damned nine swords melting the blades of her foes to make her own.
Doesn't work that way. You can't just melt a sword down and make another with it. If you liquefy the metal, you alter its chemistry. Molten steel hardens into cast iron, brittle, weak. All those old stories about reforging shattered blades are just that, Mademoiselle Phoebe. Stories. I sighed, rubbing at bruised eyes. A blade is like a heart. Once it breaks, it's broken. Phoebe sighed, looking me over.
You look like shite twice stepped in.
Strange. I peered out at the mountains beyond our cave. I feel on top of the world. She chuckled, her scarred smile lopsided.
We'll start remedying that tomorrow. Where do we get your horse, is the question.
I pouted, brow creased in thought as I considered options. I know it's a dark road to get there, I finally said, but if we sought help in the Moon's Throne, is there any version of that story where I don't end up slaughtered?
Your kind killed the Stormbringer, Silver Saint. If you go to the Highlands, you die.
I nodded, sucking my lip. We could head down to Red Watch, I suppose.
I thought you told the Flower that place was dangerous.
Dior and I fucked over some hedge mages from the night market last time we were in town. Murdered an Inquisitor on holy ground to boot. If I get caught there, only question is whether they hang or quarter me. Maybe both. I scowled, rubbing my stubble. But we've no time to waste, and I still have a few friends behind those walls.
Phoebe nodded, resolute. The City of Scarlet, then. Fast as we can trek. Get us mounted, then run Dior down and cut the Divock to pieces afore they reach Dunmay again.
I don't mean to alarm you, but did we just agree on something?
She scoffed. Sooner we get there, sooner we get to the Flower. Best sleep, eh?
I nodded, tired all the way to my bones. The bloodied saddlebags Phoebe had salvaged contained bedding, at least, and I hauled some furs out onto the stone, curling down among them and wishing for nothing but a dreamless dark. I heard Phoebe drag another log onto the fire, fussing with the bags, and my whole body tensed head to toe as I felt her pull up the furs I'd wrapped myself in, and with a noisy rustle of emerald silk and tulle, join me underneath.
"What the fuck are you doing?"
"Oh, quick round of ale and horrors afore church."
"What do you think I'm doing?"
"I think you think you're sleeping with me, Kit Kat."
"And whoever said you're more pretty than perceptive?"
"Is there only one blanket, or..."
"There's three," she said, pulling them all atop us both. "Thing about blankets is they're warmer the more you have. Same's true for bodies. Grow up."
I knew this was Phoebe's way. As heedless of personal space as any feline alive, I also knew it wisdom that we warm each other in this chill. But I'd never shared a bed with any woman who wasn't my wife. And so I peeled off the blankets, made to crawl free.
"Where the hell you going?"
Phoebe asked, lifting her head. "One of us should keep watch. The Terrors fell off that bridge too. You don't dance on a Voss grave unless you dig it yourself."
"Found their tracks this morning, headed south. They're nowhere close."
"We shouldn't take that risk."
"Moon sakes, you do have a high opinion of yourself."
Phoebe levered herself up on one elbow with a stare that could be safely described as withering.
"Take hold of your bollocks, you blouse. Your virtue's safe with me."
"I don't bite." I motioned to my bloodied leg, the teeth scars she'd left on my arm.
"That so?" "Well, not in my sleep," she smiled. "Trust me, I'm not hungry, man. Just cold."
I scowled a moment longer, but in the end, as if a prisoner on the way to the executioner's block, I crawled back between the furs,
Phoebe sighed, snuggling up against my back without a care under heaven. She hissed as our hands briefly touched, silver burning her skin, but after mumbled apologies, I settled beside the flames, the dusk dancer curled up against me. Phoebe was soon asleep, but I stayed awake, staring at the thing staring at me. She sat on the cusp between shadow and flame now, watching silently. She was clad only in firelight, heartbreak-shaped face framed by rivers of long black hairs, tears of blood spilling down her cheeks. I couldn't move, couldn't speak, pleading with my eyes. I love you. Astrid hung her head, red tears falling like rain. She reached up slow, smearing the blood across her skin, and as I blinked, I realized her face was a mask, a bloody handprint painted upon it. Red circles were scribed around her eyes, midnight blue hair whipping about her face as the lightning pulsed. And Selene looked down at me from the Cairnheim Bridge, ember rain swirling, mask twisting into a soulless smile as she let go of my hand. I hate you. I plunged into the dark. That lonely cold, that loss and longing. And as I fell, I heard screaming above. The girl I'd vowed to protect, yet failed like all the others.
Gabriel, where are you?
But the storm stole my reply.